Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Christine Williams.
And you're listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, that Tice Leakley. You dated him, didn't you? Tice Leakley?
Wow.
I turned that sucker in a hurry, didn't I? Huh? Huh? Well, was that good or what, huh? Yeah.
Yep. Well done. Well done.
Okay, yeah, it's a podcast we do twice a week for people who stitch. Yes. Okay,
There you go.
I learned that I really suck at Joann couponing.
Okay.
Okay, so this is, okay, I'm generally a bitter and skeptical and cynical individual, just generally. But I got this Joann coupon thing and learned that you don't go to that store without a coupon. And so I have the app on my phone, and I have the notifications turned off or turned on. They're turned off now because, it pops up all these deals they have for you. Well, I needed a good pair of scissors that had only been used and will only be used for fabric and thread, okay? Because I have my embroidery scissors, which I only use for thread and don't even use for Krynek. And then I have this other, like, 4-inch-long piece of a pair of scissors that were, just cheap scissors that I've cut everything over the years, just everything indiscriminately. And so they don't cut fabric very well at all anymore. And so I wanted to get a decent pair of scissors. And so we had the coupon 40% off regular priced item. Okay. All right. I'm going to Joann's. I'm going to get myself a decent pair of scissors and 40% off.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good deal.
Okay? I already know where this is going.
Okay. We'll see. Well, we'll see if you match up. All right, so I go in the store, and the first thing I notice in the scissor section is a big sign that says this area is under video surveillance. I thought, whoa, people steal that many scissors out of Joann's? Come on.
Well, when they're $60 a pair?
Yeah. So, okay, so then I find the scissors I want and go to pull them off of the peg. There's a lock on the end of the peg. I have to go get a Joann person to take the lock off to hand me the scissors. Like, holy smokes. This is, And of course it.
What
it
kind of scissors were they?
I got their Fiskars. I just got Fiskars. Like they were.
Fiskars are good.
Yeah. 30 or 40.
I'll tell
bucks,
you about my scissors after. Yeah. That's
okay. So yeah, it was a deal. It was a short pair and a long pair of shears for 40 bucks or something. I don't know what it was. So I thought, wow. And then, of course, they're hanging. The package they're in is just a bubble wrap with a cardboard back, so you could easily tear it off the peg. So I wasn't quite sure what the red lock on the end was doing, because if you wanted it, you could. But then you had the camera staring at you, so at some point it's going to break down. So anyway, I go up to check out, and Margo was there. And so she had picked up a package of cocktail napkins and a bowl for a gift. Okay, so I go to the lady, and I'm sure I can just read her mind. I go to the lady. I said, "All right, I have these things," and I said, "And I have a coupon for 50% off any full priced item, and then I have a coupon for 40% off my purchase." Mm-hmm. So I said, "I don't know which one will get me the most off of the scissors, but that's the one I'm most concerned about, because I couldn't care less about the dollar bowl and the $1.50 napkins. So what?" She says, "Well, the scissors are on sale, so that coupon doesn't work. So the 40% off your entire purchase," she puts it through. She says, "So that gave you 40% off of the bowl."
Yeah.
So there. And going to Joann's is not something I just do every 5 minutes. And I had that brief moment like, I don't want any of this. And that now screw it. I'm here. They're up here at the counter. Just charge me and get me out of here. And so I don't even know what the sale price was on the scissors. And I didn't see a sign over there that said they were on sale. But I was looking at scissors, not signs. And so it was just one of those. I think either I just got played or I'm just an idiot or both. But either way, I didn't get the deal I should have gotten. But I just got the scissors and left. And now I'll be more wary, and I turned off notifications so I won't be tempted by 50% off coupons anymore.
Well, it's not even that. You know what it is with notifications? With that, it becomes every 3 hours you're getting a Joanne's, notification.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I have put the app on my phone and then deleted it off my phone probably 30 times because in fact, as we're sitting here, I'm thinking, oh, I have to go to Joanne's. Let me see. And then you can get the coupons on your phone just by going to the website and you can pull the coupons up. But then they say, well, there's better coupons on the app.
Right. Right.
Which I have, you know, yet to see. But then, right, the notifications are obnoxious.
Yes. And endless. Yes. Yes, I'm sick of it. I'm being played. Yes.
So, yeah. So, yeah. And in fact, so I just uploaded it and it says, oh, our app is down. So guess what? I'm going to delete it immediately and we'll just go with the coupons off the thing. Yeah. So they're really good. And in fact, I'm surprised that the scissors, because oftentimes things like that are not, they're not part of the coupon deal. So you go in and you think you're going to, you know, snag something really good. But so you have to be careful with the exclusions on the Joanne's coupon sometimes.
Right.
But that said, oftentimes.
And I did read that, yeah. They were not excluded. But I also, the reason I didn't look for a sale sign is I assume that there's no way they're putting high quality scissors on sale on a regular basis. You know what I mean? It was one of those, why would you, cloth, yeah, or you know, fabric, yes. Straight pins, yes, those kinds of things, but not scissors where I got to believe there's a decent profit margin. But now, yeah, they're on sale. And, you know, you can just see the young lady at the counter. I'm sure she deals with this 1,000 times a day. Just,
oh, yeah.
You know, people want to shove their coupons and save 50% off, and nobody ever does. I don't know if nobody ever does, but I think you have to be pretty shrewd and pretty patient with those things and seize the opportunity. And I'm neither of those, and it's not happening anymore now.
Yeah. Well, you can just go right online, and you just go on their website, and the coupons pop right up, whatever it is.
Yep.
So today is 40% off every regularly priced item. There's your key. So talking about scissors, so a couple of years ago, I was doing costumes for a show, a middle school show, and I had to make 25 lab coats, so don't even ask why. It was a crazy thing. And I have always had the Fiskars scissors, and they were good. They're sharp. You know, they keep an edge fairly well, but not great. And I finally decided that if I have to sew, this is like sweatshop level sewing. If I need to sew this much, I'm going to buy a good pair of dressmaker scissors. So, because it makes a difference. It really does. So what I bought was a pair of the Ginger scissors. So they're all metal.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. They're all plastic handle. They're heavy, very heavy. I think mine are like an 8-inch long angled dressmaker scissors. So they're made specifically for cutting out fabric for patterns and things like that. So they have just the right angle to do that. And I will tell you, it was life-changing. It was one of those things where you do that and you say, why didn't I just spend this money 15 years ago? Because I would have saved myself so much time, because I was able to cut through. I was using just like a regular twill fabric, and I think I was able to cut through 8 layers of fabric at once easily. Mm-hmm. So instead of cutting out, you know, something, you know, 2 layers and then 2 layers 4 times, I could cut out 4 coats, you know, 4 pieces at a time.
Yeah.
So 8 layers. And it wasn't a struggle to do that. And usually when you have scissors like that, they'll buckle the fabric. Mm-hmm. These did not. They go through like butter. So I cannot recommend that brand highly enough. That was just a great purchase. And then actually I saw Jeremy grab them to cut paper the other day.
No.
And
No.
I acted like, you know, he was dropping a baby or something.
So, I almost bought that brand.
Oh, they're wonderful.
And I thought, wait a minute, get a grip here. How much? You know, I'm certainly not going to be making clothes, so get a grip. You just want mm-hmm. scissors that cut really well and are good quality. So I backed off of those.
Yep.
Yeah. You could tell that those scissors were. They're built for the long haul. Yeah.
They are. So if you're doing a lot with them, and scissors are one of those things where if you take care of them and don't cut paper and don't cut stupid things with them and just cut fabric, they will keep their edge longer. So it really does make a difference. So I have my scissors labeled, you know, but yeah, yep. Like I said, Jeremy picked up the ginger scissors and I screamed, because those, and I think you can get them sharpened too, which is nice, but wow, what a difference it makes. It's like kitchen knives. You know, when you finally get a really good kitchen knife that can take a nice edge to it. Wow. Does it make things easier and nicer to, it just makes things a pleasure to do as opposed to cumbersome.
Yeah. Yeah. It always comes back to having the right tools to do the job.
It really does. Yeah. It really does.
And if you try to save money and nickel and dime your way along, and like you said, when you bought those scissors, you think back, all right, how many hours have I wasted? How many pairs of scissors have I bought that I could have paid and bought this one pair of ginger scissors and be done with it and saved all the time? And then those ginger scissors become cheap.
You know, correct.
They're just not an expensive piece of equipment.
No.
Yeah. And I'm sure you can have them sharpened and they'll hold the edge and all kinds of things. Yep. Yeah.
And if you can catch it. So if you see them on regular price and you can get them with a 40% off coupon, very well worth doing.
Well, I have this Fiskars two lengths. There were two in the package, so I got them. So. They're infinitely better than the ones that I've been using. I can tell you that. So I'm going to be okay. But I was tempted on the ginger ones. They looked beautiful.
Mm-hmm. They do. But you'll be fine. And just even having, fabric scissors versus just scissors makes a difference, you know?
Right.
It really does. So, yeah. And put them aside. Don't use them for anything else and you'll be in good shape.
Oh, yeah. No, they're put. Yep. Well, and I don't have to worry about young people grabbing them and cutting.
Yeah.
Cutting open bubble packs with them. So.
Right. Or cardboard or Amazon boxes and things like that. Right. Because the other thing is it's not only just cutting through, heavy fabric. It's cutting through light fabric that doesn't want to be cut. Things like chiffon or georgette or any of those things, organza. Anything that is, if you're trying to cut it with dull scissors, the fabric pulls and it pushes and it gets out of alignment. But if you have a sharp pair of scissors, the fabric will just lie there and you can just get right through it. Yeah. So you're a lot more accurate that way too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I have good scissors now. So now you make me wonder if I should have picked up the ginger ones, but no.
I'm in good. Time, if you find, right. When you find the need to, you'll know.
Clothes making, I don't see that. So probably won't need it.
Okay, yeah.
I run across these terms. A lot of them are made up. So I have this, my new favorite term. And a nice prize to anyone who can write to me, Gary@WeTalkFiber.com, and tell me who used the term. Quilty smalls. Obviously, it has to do with quilting, but then my warped little mind said, I wonder if that's Biggie Smalls' older brother or sister.
No.
Okay.
No.
So quilty smalls is my new favorite term. I don't think it's really a legit term, but that was I just picked that up on the interwebs. So if somebody knows who used it, write to me. Even the person who did use it, write to me. Got a little prize for you. Mm-hmm. Quilty smalls. Yeah. I like Biggie Smalls' older brother. I'm going with that.
Mm-hmm. Oh boy.
Okay, our good friend Arlene, we're going to have to talk. I'm going to have to call her. We're going to have a conversation.
Now, see, we've already had this, you and I, discussion, I know, but, and I disagree.
Arlene posts a picture on Instagram, and the picture is her DMC thread card. Looks like it's laying on a backpack or her purse or whatever, and then a piece of white paper on the floor, on a linoleum floor, with DMC floss laid out. And the thing next to it, the caption, when your DMC, this is Arlene now, when your DMC thread organization is a system that doesn't work very well and a color card only goes so far, sometimes you just got to sit on the floor of Michael's to figure some things out when working on a new pattern design. So Arlene was camped out on the floor of Michael's with DMC floss spread out everywhere. But then I tell you about this and you say you've done it. So.
Yeah. And I said, I don't understand why that's a thing. Like, Of course you do that. Why wouldn't you do that? Because otherwise, if you're trying to, you can't, there is no place to lay things out. So you have to, and if you're going to be there a while, you might as well sit down, and all the racks are very low. So eventually you end up just giving up and just sitting down on the floor. I've done that so many times.
Okay. Because see, I have, here's what I have. I have Arlene there for 2 hours laying out DMC floss. No, this, not that. No, this, maybe that. No, maybe not. Comparing to her card. Then, you know, the janitor guy comes along and says, well, she's obviously going to be here. I'm going to put up safety signs, you know, to protect her.
Well, that would be nice.
You know, and then, you know, then does she order lunch? Jimmy John's, you know, he shows up at the door, have delivery. Well, nobody ordered.
Well, that's where you're missing the point, right? If you get to sit down and lay it all out, it doesn't take that long because you're not struggling to juggle things any longer.
Oh, okay.
That's how it works.
Because I just built up a little story of Arlene camped out there for the afternoon, you know, ordering lunch and doing her design work. So
Sometimes you just have to sit down. You have to just use the tools you have at.
Okay.
Wherever you are.
Okay. Well, I'm most curious to see what Arlene came up with from her Michaels thing. She's in a design craze mode. I know that. So.
I know. She's been posting a whole bunch of things. So.
Yes. Yes.
That's exciting.
So we'll see. And next time she's on the show, we're going to have to quiz her about her sitting on the floor at Michaels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm sure that other people are going to pop in. And the only reason you wouldn't is if, you know, you had like medical issues that prevented you from sitting down and having problems getting back up, which sometimes that would be a reason I would not do that because, you know, if my legs were hurting and I wasn't going to, there was only going to be a one direction of the sitting and the getting up, then I wouldn't do that. But yeah, it's true. There's no place to lay things out. So even worse is if you're trying to do something with knitting where you've got skeins of wool and you're trying to, you know, put one against another and see what kind of works with it. Because then how do you do that? You can't. So you end up doing exactly the same thing.
So does she have janitorial people come, you know, can you clean this area of the floor? I want to lay floss on it or.
No, I'm telling you, nobody would even look twice.
Okay.
Because people do it all the time.
Okay. Wow. So you wouldn't even think about it. No. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it at a grocery store. Like that would be weird.
Yeah.
But at Michael's, I wouldn't think twice about it.
Okay. Well, then that says to me that Michael's needs to have working surfaces throughout the store where people can lay stuff.
Yes. And you know what? So that's an excellent point because Joann's does have that because if you go to the area where they have their patterns, or at least there used to be, I don't know, I'll be there later today, so I'll have to see. There's a big table that you used to be able to sit through to flip through pattern books, and you could look through your pattern books there. So just like, you know, just like a long table with some chairs, and you would just do that.
So you could haul all your floss over there and sit comfortably.
You could
in the
if
chair
you,
and,
yeah, you know. Yeah, if you needed to, you could. But it really was meant for patterns, but I don't know that there's enough people doing that sort of stitching anymore that the table would be worth a retail space. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's how it used to be.
Okay. The things I learn, but I was just having fun conjuring up a story for Arlene of a day at Michael's, on the floor. So yeah,
mm-hmm. You gotta do what you gotta do.
That's, what several people replied to Arlene is just that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, go Arlene. Looking forward to the design. Looking forward to the design. And then this is just my potpourri of stuff.
Okay.
Somebody posted, if you had a $50 Amazon gift card, what would you buy? I thought that was good. That, you know, that's a fun what if question.
That is a good one.
Always. So what would you buy stitching wise if you had that?
Me? Yeah. Well, this would be tough because what I really need isn't on Amazon. So if I had $50 on Amazon, what?
Okay, all right, let's change the rule then. A $50 American Express card.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, let's change the rule.
Then that's easy. I would buy a floor stand, which I have not yet done.
Okay.
And I will tell you why, because, and I still, sometimes I can be very indecisive. I can be very decisive about large things. Like I can buy a car in a half an hour, but floor stand versus, you know, lap stand. And I will, you know, go back and forth on this for 6 months. What I am finding, and I'm curious to see if anybody else has had this experience, I started having pain in my elbow, like right sort of below the elbow joint in the sort of the meaty part of your forearm, right on the lower, what would be considered tennis elbow, right?
Yes.
Now, I don't play tennis, mostly as a community service, because me with a racket is you know, it's just a bad thing. If it's not badminton, the chances of public injury are high. So,
that's decent of you. That's, you know, that's humane.
Yeah, I do my part.
It warms my heart a bit. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, so my arm started hurting a couple of weeks ago. And I didn't know what it was from. And I thought, you know, at first I was like, well, maybe I slept on it weird. And then it wasn't going away. And then I do some weightlifting, which I'd like to say I go to the gym often, but I will admit I do not. But I was thinking, all right, maybe I overlifted or something like that. But then I went to the gym and did all kinds of things that would sort of tweak that area, and it didn't get any worse. So I'm like, that's not it. And then a week ago, like it finally went away. And a week ago, you and I were recording, and I picked up this big cross stitch piece that I have on the scroll frame to work on this. And sure enough, the next day it was back.
Ah.
And I think what it is, because I don't have it in a frame, I'm just balancing. I'm doing this stupid cockamamie thing where I've got it balanced on the arm of a chair, and it's just dumb. The way I'm doing it is now officially dumb, because however it is, it's my right arm. So it's my under the fabric arm. Whatever I'm doing is not good. So I need to buy, it's time to buy a chair, and it's time to buy a floor stand. So I have a small lap stand, the kind like you sit on, but mm-hmm. for this scroll frame, because it's so big, it's just not going to work. So I need something bigger. So I think I'm going to do the Gazelle, because the Millennium stand company is just, I've been watching that for months and months, and they don't have any available, and they haven't for quite some time. So I'm going to get one of the Gazelle frames, and hopefully that will do it, because I, you know, the idea of not being able to stitch because it's causing injury is distressing, to say the least.
Yes.
So that's what I would do.
Okay.
But that's, I don't know. I don't know if anybody's ever had that, like, you know, because we talk about, you know, arthritis and, you know, other kinds of sort of aches and pains, you know, your like neck things and
right.
from sitting weirdly or, you know, but I have not heard anybody say specifically that they had an issue with that. So if anybody has and they know anything about it, I'd love to hear. But I think
Sounds like not doing that is going to be your cure.
Right, but not doing that is not an option. So right. I think doing that ergonomically is the right way to go about doing this.
That's what I meant, is not doing the unergonomic.
Yeah, and I'm not sure exactly what it is that I'm doing, but I'm sure that the way I'm doing
it's not
now,
working.
Well, it's not, because the canvas is not level and it's balanced not well, so that arm is tense because I'm trying to keep it balanced. It's like, it's crazy. I don't know why I'm doing this to myself. It's kind of dumb. So, so going back to that right tool for the job thing and the whole ginger scissors thing, I'm going to apply that mentality and say, all right, it's time for a frame. And just do that, and then get a chair and sit in a chair like a proper person. And I think what I'm going to do, because I also need to keep my feet up, just because that's comfortable for me. It's not comfortable to sit with my feet down on the floor straight, like people would tell you to do.
Right.
But Vanna had said she had that little tiny footstool.
Right.
And she said that was super comfortable. So I think that's what I'm going to do is use some sort of a tiny footstool or a dog, one or the other.
Yes, yes, the dog. You know, that could be useful.
Mm-hmm. She's the right size, so.
Yes.
And warm.
Yeah, warm. Now that, see, added heated footrest. Yes, right
well,
there.
Well, you may laugh, but back in the days before, you know, good heating like this, people used to bring their dogs to church, and the dogs would lay on the floor in between the pews, and people would put their feet under or on their dogs to keep them warm. So it's not without precedent.
So you're bringing back the past here. It's a nice touch. Oh, mm-hmm.
It is, especially if I'm stitching a historical piece.
There we go. Oh, that was beautiful. You brought
right?
that all together. Look at that.
I know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Talent. That's just pure talent.
Right, with my LED magnifying light, well, watching my flat screen TV.
Well, okay.
Let's not go too far.
Yeah. But your starting point was a nice touch. So we're going to hang on to that. Yeah.
Yeah. So definitely. So it's time for a proper frame and a chair, and we're gonna do this the right way. And you said you really like stitching in an office chair.
Yeah.
Well, and you found that the arms help.
Yeah. Well, that to me that's the key, because I have a really good office chair that can adjust six ways to Sunday, and mm-hmm. both arms can go up and down or in and out independently. And so I have them in close, and I have one higher than the other so that the hand on top is resting on an armrest and the hand on the bottom is resting on an armrest. And if I get right up to the scroll frame or whatever it is, then, yes, both hands are rested comfortably, and I'm just stitching. And the only real movement is if I'm starting a thread where I have to lift my arm, you know, to pull it through or whatever. But yeah,
right.
And I can just stitch, and I got a lumbar pillow,
mm-hmm.
a fellow's, you know, office lumbar pillow
yes.
that wraps around
mm-hmm.
the back of the chair, so that as I'm sitting kind of forward, I have lower back support, and and with good lighting and magnification, yeah, I can just sit there and it doesn't bother me a lick. Yeah, the only thing I do is take periodic breaks just to make my eyes look at something else. But other than that, you know, it works great.
Mm-hmm. I was looking, but somebody else had a suggestion for the arm support. They had said to use, and you are probably not going to know what this is. They said to use a boppy pillow. What a boppy pillow is for nursing mothers. It's like it's almost like a horseshoe shaped pillow.
Oh, Sarah has one of those. Yeah, I know what
yes.
those are. Yeah.
Okay, so it's called a boppy pillow. I guess it's a brand name or whatever. But that so the whole idea of that is that you put it on your lap, sort of around your waist, and it helps support your arm, supporting the baby, especially once the baby starts getting heavier. Because it's a lot less strain on you while you're nursing, right? So it makes sense, though, because then your arm can be resting right on that, and it kind of puts it right at the right height, doesn't it?
Yeah.
At least on one side. So that if you happen to have one, that would be worth trying.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I do not have one. My son is 14, so.
Well past that age.
Yes. Yes.
But, yeah.
So yes, when she retires her boppy pillow, you might ask her for one and let me know how that goes.
Okay.
But those are, you know, the things that people have, and then, you know, they outlive their usefulness, but then you could use it for that. That's something that's
sure.
worth looking into.
Yep.
Yeah. But the office chair with the arms, that's key. I like that idea.
Yeah. It's been, I mean, just game changing different for me. And then I have, mm-hmm. I have floor stand, and I actually don't like stitching without it. I mean, I just would much prefer to have that holding up everything, and then I just stitch. And it works out.
Yeah. And I do really like the Needle Needs, which is the Millennium Frame company. I like their lap stand a lot. So I'm hoping that will come back. because that's the one I think Nicola had used. And I know sometimes Vana uses one similar where it just rests on your lap. But for me, I think right now that's the whole idea is that I'm too fidgety. So having it in a frame locked in, that will probably serve me better. And I'll give up the portability for the stability and then not hurting all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to get that hurting part out. And that's in those, you know, you say you're not sure what you're doing that's causing it. That's the whole thing about those kinds of injuries is when your arm is tense or your shoulder or whatever, and it manifests itself in different people in different ways. And
right.
And all of a sudden you hurt from this and you think, well, what have I been doing? I've been sleeping mm-hmm. weird or whatever it is. And no, it just, it's from that repetitive use and it just shows up in your body in this area as yep. opposed to, yeah, it's hard to predict.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the scientific test. You haven't stitched for a day or two. You come back and the pain's back. Oh man. Yeah.
Well, and what happened was it wasn't that I wasn't stitching. I was stitching a different piece. I was stitching for like a week and a half, I was stitching a crewel piece, which is in a hoop. So that was completely different physics, right?
Right, right.
So because I'm not leaning on it and I can stitch anywhere. And then the pain went away. And as soon as I picked up the scroll frame again, the next day it was hurting. So,
yeah. Yep.
Yep. There's my $50 would go towards that. So,
okay. All right. Well, that would be good. Yeah, you'll enjoy a floor stand once you get one. I mean, some people can't use them, but I'll tell you, I love them. I love them. Yep. Stays right there. It stays where it's supposed to. Your hands are free. And,
yeah.
All those things. Yeah.
It's time. It's time. Yeah. It, you know, it just gets to a point where, all right, enough. Just invest in.
Yeah.
That would be one thing.
Yep. But then, you know, and then you'll have the people who stitch in hand, you know, they have no interest in any of that. And they'll just stitch in hand all day long and it doesn't bother them.
Yeah. So I think that's fine for some things. Like, so for this piece, I probably could do that, or I could do this piece in a hoop too. Although I think the hoop would probably end up distorting it because I'm not really good about taking tension out at night and putting it back. But for any kind of surface embroidery, you kind of need the tension.
Right.
It doesn't work otherwise, you know, because the stitches aren't, you need even tension. So, but with that, then I don't know that I would use a floor stand unless I was doing a piece that was in a large frame, because for that, I kind of feel like I need to move it around.
Yeah.
But yeah, any of these larger frame pieces, I think I just need to put on a stand. That's just
I think that's really kind of the tipping point there is
mm-hmm. is the size of the piece. Yeah.
It's no longer a hoop and a piece of cloth. It's a great big piece of wood or plastic or whatever. Yeah. And agreed. Yep. Well, that would be a good use. If I had a spare 50, I'd send you a card right now, but I don't. Don't take it personal though.
I don't.
I'd kit up a Debbie Rowley design that I'm looking at. Yep.
That's nice.
I have.
I like that idea too. You know,
several charts. So it would just be, I have the cloth, so it would just be a matter of popping for the threads. So, yep. I could easily eat up that $50 and then some.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. So what piece would you kit up?
It's another Diamond Delight one, and don't ask me the number because I'm not going to remember. But it's another Diamond. I like her. I like that Diamond series. I think there's some mm-hmm. nice variation in that. I like that, and I'm getting antsy to do more needlepoint now. I've been doing this sampler, and it's time to move on to some full metal needlepoint. And I have that Anasazi song that I need to work on, but I'm feeling a Debbie Rowley with some challenging stitches and all of that. So, yep. I got so many projects I can work on. It's ridiculous. I need to stop. I really do. I need to stop.
No, I like it. You know, it's funny you bring up the Debbie Rowley because one of the first charts I bought, so I did the Diamond Delight one as the first thing that I did. And then I bought a different one of hers that was about as far away from that as you can get. It was called Black Magic. That's what it's called.
Yes.
And it's on black cloth, and it's this very asymmetrical modernist design piece, that I just loved because it was so different than every other needlepoint piece that I had seen up until that point. So I have that chart, and that's been my one chart that's like your charts that, you know, has been sitting there sort of calling to me, because I got, you know, I got into the phase of, ooh, I want to try this, and now I want to try this, and sort of trying different types of things. But I figured out a place where that piece would look really good.
Uh-oh.
So now...
Uh-oh.
Right? And the only thing about it now that I wonder is if I can't scale it up a little bit. So now I'm trying to figure out if that's possible or wise, and it's probably not.
Oh, you mean it needs to be bigger for the space?
I think it would be more impactful. I think that would be that's a piece that would be beautiful in larger scale. The issue is that the threads are not going to translate. Right?
Right. Yeah.
So I think it would be worth doing it and then just framing it larger, you know?
Yeah. Create the illusion of a larger piece. Yes.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. But I have a place that's actually going to work out well, because the one thing that was iffy, and I'm really glad that I didn't start the piece, was that it's black and it has a lot of almost primary colors. It's got a lot of blue and red, and then it has this bright yellow, and the bright yellow always seemed a little like almost too bright or out of place to me, to my eye. It works with the piece. It's not the piece's fault, if that doesn't make any sense, because the piece isn't a person. it just wasn't my favorite. It wasn't my preference. Right. But the wall that this would go on is yellow. So that would tie into, and it's exactly the shade of yellow.
Oh.
So that would just make the yellow in the piece completely pop, and suddenly it would now give it context.
Yes. Okay.
So as soon as I saw that wall, I was like, oh, this is, I know exactly what's going to go there. So now I'm itching to start that piece, but I have two other pieces that I have to do that are somewhat time sensitive. So I want to get started on those, so that I actually have to go to Joanne's myself today to buy some silk and probably some floss, but not really. But I have to kit up a project that I want to do in silks as well. And those I'll have to order, because I can't get them around here. So I'll have to plow through my unorganized silk collection and see if I have any of the ones that I need, and then I'll order the rest. So there you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool. That's cool when something like that happens. All right, I have this piece, don't really know what to do with it. There's the spot right there. Yep.
Yeah, because where it is makes a difference.
Sure.
And that's true of lots of different kinds of art. You know, when you have the right, you know, something looks nice, but then when you put it in the right spot where, you know, the color behind it or the whatever else is around it just makes it stand out. And that is just going to look, I'll take a picture of it when it's done, you know, a year and a half from now. And you'll say, oh yes, you're right. That did work there.
Yep. All right. Getting one more plug for the Shoreline Stitcher Showcase. April, Southern California, sponsored by the Needle Artists by the Sea, ANG chapter. And they're the people who are doing Loreen Salt's Autumn Kaleidoscope project all year long. So you can join in on that. But go to, where is that website? Needle Artists by the Sea. I'll put it on the page. You'd think I'd write these things down, wouldn't you? Preparation and all. I mean, I read all this stuff and, you know. Anyway, needleartistbythesea.org or something like that. I'll put it on the website page for this show. But 300 pieces they had the last time. So if you want to participate in the Shoreline Stitchers Showcase in April, I think you probably need to act pretty quick, I'm guessing. But, here it is. I did write it down. Look at me. I'm organized and don't realize. Needle Artists, and it's ARTISTS, needleartistbythesea, all one word, .org. So, yes. Get in on that if you want to, out there in Southern California. I'd feel like I have to actually personally take my piece out there.
Yeah.
In so, you know, to Southern California. And I'd probably want to go out and be there for a few weeks just to make sure everything was okay. And then come back.
I think so.
Come back when it's spring in Illinois. So, so there you have it. Needle Artist by the Sea, Shoreline Stitcher Showcase. And then be sure and check out our Sign of the Arrow video on our YouTube FlossTube thing. Have a link for that. And remember, we'll be at the Nashville Needlework Market March 2 to 4. So we'll be doing videos and podcasts from there. Going to be fun. Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Lots of new things going there. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be fun.
Going to be different. Yeah, I mean, really a different trade show. I've never been to a show where people are actually buying things. This should be interesting.
Yeah. And for, you know, everyone, please come find us. You know, we'll be walking around together and separately. So I feel like we should have Fiber Talk t-shirts or something. but we should, come find us.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Come say hi.
We'll be around.
Yep.
Yeah, please do.
Yep. Do it at the right time. We'll put you on the show, you know.
There you go.
That just chased everybody away. No, not us. No, not me. All right, that's it. Sunday. Karen Kluba, Rosewood Manor.
Yes. Very fun.
Wow. That was a lot of fun talking to her, and what a design talent. Well, I think anybody who's looked at Rosewood Manor charts would know that
beautiful.
Anyway. But yeah, what there was just in getting things lined up with her to record the show, I identified three pieces. That's dangerous. See, this is the trouble. So I had three pieces that I want to own and stitch of hers. The Sunrise and the Sunset. I think the Sunset is the new one at Nashville. And then she has a Christmas Quaker sampler that she's introducing at the Nashville show, too. So all three of those. I showed Marga the Christmas sampler. And she said, yes, I'll have one of those for next Christmas. And, yeah.
So, but, I have a question. So, I know that this is a retailers only show. And so, regular people are not allowed to buy at the show, or they really aren't attending the show because this is really just business to business.
Right.
So, are we allowed to purchase things?
That I don't know.
I kind of hope not.
for your own protection.
Yeah, I kind of. My responsible brain is telling me I hope not.
Yeah, I don't know. But see, I have the out in that Monica from Welcome Stitchery will be there. So Monica will go get these things for me. So I'll have that out. Which you would have that same out.
And, I do. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, well, and actually, as I talk this through, the place will be full of retailers who will be glad to ship to you whatever you want.
That's true. Yeah. Oh, you just undid my one stopgap, my one control point.
You're welcome. Because, any of them will send them to you. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Jean Lee will be there. She'll send you anything. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell her what you want.
She'll buy
it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Nordic will be there.
Yep.
Needle in a Haystack will be there. All of my usual haunts.
So, yeah, you'll be able to obtain the stuff. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, yeah. Gary.
No charge for that. Happy to help anytime.
The worst because everything is there and it's touch and feel and oh boy.
Yeah, that's far worse than all the other people who and that's the way to get the new stuff. Is to order through your store and then they will pick it up for you at the show and bring it back for you. I mean, that's what people should do. But and if you look around, I mean, a lot of the people who are showing there have been posting what they're going to have new at the show. So you can kind of do your own shopping if you look around.
Yeah.
A lot of the Facebook forums, people are starting to really ramp it up now, seeing more and more every day. So you can kind of do your shopping and then tell your local needlework store, I want this, and this. Or, in Christine's case,
yeah. Have I mentioned I have a kid I have to put through college? Have I mentioned that?
You have from time to time, and
yeah,
and yes,
yeah.
I'm just going to enjoy watching you. I think I'm just going to sit back and enjoy watching you. Yeah, that's how it's going to be for me. Yeah, yeah.
I think okay.
So. All right, now that's really it. We're done. Now that we've enabled you to spend a whole lot of money you don't need to spend, we're going to stop. So, Karen Kluba, Rosewood Manor on Sunday. Thanks for listening. We'll be back, when we get back. Yep.
Take care.